Thank you, Mr. Burkhardt, very much. Appreciate the special music. Beautiful words.
I'd like for you to take just a few seconds and write down a few things that you're thankful for. What is it that you're thankful for? Maybe you're thankful for a house or good marriage or for really smart, good-looking kids or... I took the same quiz this morning. I came up with a few things myself I'll share with you. One of the things that I wrote down that I was thankful for was God's Spirit, for His Spirit living in me, helping me to be able to understand God's plan, helping me to be able to open the pages of His Bible and understand what God is trying to say, what He's trying to communicate, why He created me for the potential of being in His family. I was thankful for those things. Another thing that I wrote down on my list is a house that we can serve in. We moved to Wichita almost 5 years ago, asking God to provide us a house that we could serve in. And I hope that all of you have enjoyed being able to come over to our house for the various Bible studies and socials and small group settings and large group settings and night to bees and all the various things we've been able to do in that particular house. While it's just walls and drywall and furniture and stuff and things, I'm very thankful to God that He provided a house that not only fits our family really well, but fits our congregation here very well as well. I'm also thankful for good health, for a great physical life with my family. I have a beautiful and capable and very talented wife that serves alongside me. Very thankful for her and for our boys and for their potential to be in God's family. And then as I took this test this morning, this little quiz this morning, I'm also thankful for this building, for God blessing us with this facility, that if we want to have, you know, a 3 hour long sermon, we can. And so I'm very thankful for that flexibility. The model prayer is located in two different locations in the Bible. One of them is in Matthew 6, and then the other location is in Matthew 11. It begins simply, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." With that prayer outline, we acknowledge God's greatness. We acknowledge His mercy. We acknowledge who He is, what He is doing, why He created us, the things that He has done for us, the things that He is currently doing for us. We're to be thankful, though. We're to be thankful to our God for all that He has given to us. It's really easy to go to a super high level when we talk about being thankful for things. I'm thankful for my life, or I'm thankful for God's calling. We can go to a really high level and kind of play around in the cloud, so to speak. It's easy to thank Him for things like the Sabbath, for life, for food, for shelter. If you have kids or had kids, at one point they're probably thankful for things like their toys or their animal or some stuffed, you know, dog or something that they were given somewhere along the line. We should be thankful. We should be thankful to God. We should be able to praise God and thank Him for the things that He has done for us. It's so easy for us as humans to simply take and then to move on. It's so easy for us to maybe even go over to someone's house, have their dinner, and then move on, or receive something from them and then kind of take that and move on. It's something easy for us as humans to do. It actually takes effort, though, doesn't it, to actually stop and acknowledge what somebody else has done for us. From a perspective of being thankful to God, we can enjoy our health, we can enjoy the sun, we can enjoy the stars at night. One of the neat things about being able to go to High Sierra, and maybe those that were there with us this last summer can attest to this, I think there in that part of California, I think they have more stars than we do here in Kansas. I don't know how God designed that, but that central part of California, you're up about 4,500 feet, there's no big city anywhere for at least an hour. And that's just this tiny town of Fresno. But if you'd step outside at night, especially early on camp, the moon continued to get bigger and more full as camp went on. But especially the first part of camp, There was hardly anything of the moon. And you could see the Milky Way. You could just, again, once your eyes got adjusted, you could see just, it was like everything was there. It was just amazing to think about all the stars that were up there. We can enjoy the physical blessings. We can enjoy the rain. Maybe some of the rainbows we'd be able to see over the last few days, or last few weeks with all the rain we've been getting here recently. We can take those things and we can say, oh, those are, it's a cool night, or, oh, really, really nice to have the rain. But do we simply take and move on, or do we take it in and enjoy it, but then give something back? Do we go back and thank God for it? Turn with me, if you will, over to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. I'd like to read verses 15 and 16. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 15. The leech has two daughters. Give and give. How many of you have ever had a leech attached to you? One of you. Two of you. leeches are such that they're not willing to give a whole lot back, are they? You know, they attach and it's give and give and give and give. And, you know, for them, it's take and take and take and take. The leech has two daughters. Give and give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Four never say enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that is not satisfied with water, and the fire never says enough. These are four things here that Solomon is writing here in the book of Proverbs that seem to take without giving any sort of thanks back, without any sort of acknowledgement back. The leech has $2, give and give. This is not them giving something. They're saying, give to me. They're taking, give me more. From a human perspective, though, are we ever satisfied? Are we ever satisfied? Or are we always looking for something more, something better, something different, something more efficient? Are we conscious of our taking and sucking, or do we frequently stop and thank God for what we have? It's important for us to actually stop and thank God for what he has given to us. Praising his many names. You know, each of God's name reveals a unique aspect of his character. Do we praise him by using his many names for his involvement in our life? Let's go back to Psalm chapter 100. Let's go back just a little bit here, a few pages. Psalm chapter 100. It's a short chapter. Psalm chapter 100 and verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. What a neat chapter. To me, this chapter is just really neat. I love verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So oftentimes I think we enter into his gates with our list of demands. You know, we kind of roll them up in a scroll and, you know, dear God, we kind of let the paper roll out. Today I'm hurting here and please do this for me and help me with this person at work and help me here and do this for me and I'm having this problem. And God obviously knows our needs and there's a proper balance in everything. But I love the way David writes verse 4 here. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Come into his presence thanking him for what he has done for us. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. What a neat thing for us to consider when we're praying. Today I'd like to review the topic of praise and thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving. In many ways, these two tie in closely with each other. We want to look at some specific ways that we can praise God, that we can be thankful to Him. The concept of ingratitude has its roots in pride. Someone who is not thankful thinks that he should have more, thinks that he should have something different. This person believes he deserves better than what he has. And it has its roots in this concept of ingratitude. This person sometimes might believe that he alone is fully responsible for all he has. Look at all that I have done. Look at this wealth that I have amassed. Pride and ingratitude seem to weave very closely together. Here's a question for us to consider as we kind of begin this message here on being thankful. Do I expect things from God just because I'm a Christian and I'm trying to obey Him? Do I expect things from God just because I'm a Christian and trying to obey Him? I think that's a good question for all of us to consider, me especially. Do I expect things from God? Do I expect Him to do things to me because I go to church every Saturday? Because I tithe? Because, you know, I show respect to my parents? Do we expect things from God just because I'm a Christian and trying to obey Him? If we do, then we're borderlining on a form of pride and something we all need to be very careful of. Do we overlook gratitude and think that God should be giving us what we feel we should have, what we feel that we should deserve? Those are some good things for us to ponder, some good questions for us to ponder. Let's go over to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, here the Apostle Paul writing. Let's read verse 17. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "Whatever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So whatever we do, give thanks back to God, is what Paul here is saying. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It's hard to be thankful, though, when we're going through a trial, isn't it? It's hard to be thankful to God when we feel that He's not giving us what we need or helping us in a way that we think that we deserve. We might always go to God when we're sick, but why am I sick? We might be diligent with the Sabbath and holy days, but why can't I find a stable job? I faithfully tithe, so why is money so tight? I serve God's people a lot, so why do I struggle with relationships? These are maybe some things that pop into your mind at times. Again, it goes back to our question from a few minutes ago. Do I expect certain things from God because of what we're doing in our Christian life? To quote Roy Holiday some years ago, he said, "Be thankful that we do not get what we deserve." Be thankful we don't get what we deserve. In some ways, it kind of throws you back. You're like, well, wait a minute. And then you begin to think about it a little bit more. And I thought that his statement was rather intriguing. Be thankful that we do not get what we deserve. If ingratitude is rooted in pride, then thankfulness is rooted with humility. If ingratitude is rooted in pride, then thankfulness comes with humility. We can't be a thankful, proud person. And gratitude and pride are rooted together, and thankfulness and humility is also rooted together. Humility is a simple word that conjures up so many different thoughts and emotions. It almost seems a contradiction of itself, because any thought of humility really kind of shows that we're not humble, right? Oh, I'm a very humble person. Well, maybe not. Yet the attitude of humility is central to what God wants us to be doing and what He wants us to be living, isn't it? There are several pastors that send out on a weekly basis a little newsletter. One of them wrote in his weekly newsletter, this has been many years ago, He says, quote, we're to have deference to others, quoting from 1 Corinthians 12:25, to love one another, from John 13:34, and to take care of one another, John 25, verses 34 through 40. What is interesting in analyzing those instructions is that we cannot truly practice humility to others without serving them. This observation is borne out in considering human nature. When we serve others, we begin to care for them. Conversely, when we expect service from others, we begin to care less for others. End quote. I think it's an interesting way of showing these two different paths. This path of ingratitude and pride and expecting things versus the other path of being thankful and being clothed with humility. Certainly a first step for us as Christians is being truly thankful to God for all that He has done for us. And we do that through God living in us and giving us His Holy Spirit. Follow me, if you will, back to the book of Isaiah. Let's just pick up a quick reference scripture here. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66 in verse 2. For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I will look, on him who is humble and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Some of your translations may use the word poor. It's not speaking of poor from a financial perspective. It's speaking of poor from a humble perspective. On him who is humble and has a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. It's interesting that the preface to this is God is saying, I have made everything, right? I am the one who has ordained everything. My hands have created everything that there is. He's almost setting the stage to say, I'm powerful, I'm supreme, I'm the being of, you know, everything that exists. And I have created everything that there is. But then he says, despite my greatness and how much power I have, this is the kind of human that I enjoy being with. This is the kind of human that I want a relationship with. This one who is humble and of a contrite spirit, who trembles at my word. The word to look here, but on this one I will look. The word look there in the Hebrew means to regard with pleasure or to favor this person. So here God says, even though I've created all of these things, and I've created the universe and all the many stars that Central California has, and even the fewer stars that Kansas has, you know, despite all this that I have done, this is the kind of person that I have favor for. This is the kind of person that I regard with pleasure or favor. We can notice the sunset in the evenings. We can notice the constant power of gravity. The stars, the moons in their orbit, the tiny bugs, the ants that carry proportionately gigantic loads, considering their size. But without humility, any praise done toward God is done in vain. We can notice those things, but yet if it's done in vain, our praise kind of falls on deaf ears, you might say. Let's go back to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 21. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 21. He is your praise and he is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. He is your praise. This is the Hebrew word that means song or hymn of praise or some form of adoration or thanksgiving that's paid to God. He is your praise. He is this thanksgiving. This person here is giving this thanksgiving to God for all that he has done. He is your praise and He is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Notice the focus of this verse. Notice the focus. This focus is not directed toward us, is it? It's not a prideful praise. It's not a, oh, look at me because I have allowed these things to happen, or I have been, you know, this recipient of these things. The focus here is directed toward God. It's not directed at all toward this selfish, prideful perspective. Most people probably regard themselves as being properly thankful, but thankfulness must be expressed to others to be worth much. It's one thing for us to, in our minds, say, oh, I sure am thankful for that person for doing that, or for calling me, or for helping me with that thing over there. Giving thanks, though, is much more than just being thankful. Giving thanks is good for both parties, the giver and the receiver. Thankfulness can tend to be passive. Thanksgiving, though, is active. We can say, I am thankful for my job. I am thankful for my job. It's passive. It's ambiguous as far as who is being thanked, right? But we could take that same thing and change it. We could say, I thank God for blessing me with a job in a very unstable economy. That's a very active thanksgiving, isn't it? It's very clear who is getting the credit for that statement. We could say, wow, it sure was a beautiful sunset tonight, wasn't it? Again, it's very passive. Who's being thanked for that? It's something we're receiving. You know, we're sitting back, we're gleaning enjoyment from that sunset. Well, it's a beautiful sunset this evening. But instead, consider saying, it's amazing how God created so many colors to reflect off the clouds and produce such a beautiful sunset. Now we're actually acknowledging who created that sunset, who created those gases and those colors and all the things that go into making that sunset. It's important for us to consider in the topic of Thanksgiving that we're actually acknowledging someone in that Thanksgiving. We'll have some snacks after services. Should we say, sure was nice to have snacks? Or should we say, thank you so-and-so for bringing that, or thank you so-and-so for helping to put all this out, or thank you so-and-so for helping to clean up? When it comes to the need to be thankful, the Bible emphasizes action over being passive. It emphasizes action over being passive. In the New King James Bible, the word thankful appears three times, and the word unthankful appears two times. The numbers are surprisingly small, don't you think? Three times for thankful, two times for unthankful. Also in the New King James, the word thanksgiving, though, is used 31 times. And the phrase is give thanks, or give thanks, or give you God the thanks, occurs 43 times, much higher numbers. The word thank or thanks and the word God appearing in the same verse occurs some 38 times. Also, the word thank or thanks and the word Lord appear together some 43 times. Again, I think is this interesting way that God is trying to communicate us, that He wants us to be actively thankful. Not just, oh, it's a beautiful sunset, but thank you, God, for creating this beautiful sunset, for allowing me to see this beautiful sunset. The word praise, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, implies a big thank you, given with abundance of admiration and respect. Again, this is the word praise. In both the Old Testament and New Testament, it implies this great big thank you. You almost like, you know, you have your arms out big and you just want to, you know, give that great big thank you. It's given with this abundance of admiration and respect, is what the word praise in the Old Testament and New Testament implies. The Bible stresses that the greatest praise should obviously go toward God. Praise and God occur in the same verse some 57 times. Praise and God. And praise and Lord together occur some 97 times. So again, it's these great big thank yous that we're giving to God when we praise Him. So are you thankful for a beautiful day, a gorgeous rainbow, or a spectacular sunset? If you are, then tell God about it. Thank God for it. Stop and pause and just have a little prayer there and thank Him for those things. Thank the one who created it all. Don't just be that person who kind of takes it all in and maybe receives some self-enjoyment from it, but let's not be the person who fails to be thankful for those things and to give that abundance of admiration back to God. We should be extremely grateful for all our benefits and blessings and then express it. Continually tell God how much you appreciate Him. Do we ever do that? We might thank Him. We might use the word thank you God for. But how often do we actually say that we appreciate Him? We appreciate His involvement in our life. Let's make it a habit to give thanks and praise as often as you can for, and then find any reason to say it. Find ways to be thankful to God for praising Him. So how do we give thanks and praise to God? How do we do it? It's more than just during our prayers. I want to look at three quick ways of how we can show thanks to God. Three quick ways of how we can show thanks to God. Number one is fasting. Fasting. It's not my intent here in the sermon to review how to fast or the frequency or when to fast or that sort of thing. But when we fast, it is a great opportunity to extend heartfelt praise and thanksgiving to God. We're humbled during a fast, aren't we? We're already naturally in that state. We're weak, we're hungry, our stomach is growling, our mouth is dry. We realize during that day or during that partial day or whatever we're fasting, we realize how much we need God. You might consider reviewing Isaiah chapter 58. All but the last couple verses of that chapter deal with fasting. It begins with a question. Why have we fasted and you haven't answered us? What is the focus and reason for your fast? Is it to gain solution to a problem or to gain a solution to a problem maybe you've already solved? Are you asking God to answer a particular problem with maybe your own idea? God, I have the way to solve this problem. I'm going to fast to see if, you know, we can make it all work out. Isaiah chapter 58, though, or in that chapter of Isaiah chapter 58, God is clear that the focus of any fast should be on Him, to be focused on Him, seeking His will, His advice, His direction, His involvement. And any time we fast, it's a great opportunity to go and read that chapter and think about it. You might also consider studying and reading Psalm 103 when you're fasting. Let's just turn there real quick. Psalm chapter 103. Psalm chapter 103, something you might consider the next time you're fasting, especially in relation to praising God and thanking Him for all He has done for us. Consider some of these verses. Psalm chapter 103 and verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Verse 10, He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. And as far as east is from the west, so far as He has removed our transgressions from sins. like to encourage you to, sometime sooner than later, have a thankful fast. Have a thankful fast. A fast whose sole purpose is to acknowledge the benefits God has given to us. To acknowledge His blessings in our lives. Praising God for His mercy and His love shown to us. Remember that the word praise in the Bible is this big thank you. Or this abundance of admiration. Have a thankful fast. Consider that, if you will. Number two, the second way we can show thanks and praise to God is through meditation. Meditation. I recently gave a sermon, I'll say recently, but maybe it was 6 or 8, 10 months ago, on meditation. The hows, the whens, the whys. This sermon, obviously, we can't get into all those details. Well, suffice it to say that we all probably know a little bit about meditation, though, and maybe that sermon comes back to your mind. Simply put, meditation is thinking to ourselves about God. Okay, it's us thinking to ourselves about God. We can meditate on God's creation, and we can let our thoughts be consumed with the small details of how the creation is made and how awesome God is in all of His glory and majesty to create something so tiny like a ladybug with all the intricate details of that ladybug's, you know, shell. We can think about the sun, the bright white during the day, the reds and oranges and yellows in the evening. As the sun goes down, it continues to give off various colors reflecting off the clouds. Physical laws that govern the universe, maybe. Laws like gravity. We can meditate on how that would affect the creation and how awesome God was to create that law, to create that physical law that kind of helps hold everything together. The tides, the moon phases, all of it works in concert. We can meditate on the animals that have been created, their extreme complexities. The fish at the bottom of the sea, I think, is still one of my favorite ones. The one that has the little light bulb thing that kind of comes over and dangles in front of them. Maybe you've seen cartoon versions of it, and it looks like this big, scary thing with, you know, big, huge teeth. I don't actually know what the real thing looks like. I've just seen cartoon characters of it, but has like this light bulb thing that comes over. And God created that, and it lives down at the bottom of the ocean. The leaf-carrying ants, so we saw those many years ago in Costa Rica, and you know, you have these tiny ants and this gigantic piece of leaf that's on its back that it's carrying. I can think about the black widow that is no more, that used to live a couple nights ago outside our back door, that when we discovered it, we quickly fire extinguished it out. And I can think about how God designed that and how I was able to exercise my God-given dominion over that particular animal and determined that, you know, it wasn't welcome right outside my back door. The human creation and, you know, the various regenerations and regrowth that our body goes through. Our life is full of distractions. Our life is full of distractions. Consider this next week when you drive to and from work. Turn the radio off. Turn the radio off. Turn off the cell phone. And take that time maybe to meditate about how awesome God is. The awesomeness of God. Give Him thanks and praise Him for such an incredible creation. For the mind that you have. For the blessings that He has given to you. Let's go over to Psalm 145. Let's go forward just a few pages. Psalm chapter 145. Psalm chapter 145, the little summary line in my Bible says, a song of God's majesty and love, a praise of David. So here David himself is praising God. Psalm 145, in verse 1, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. You might consider reading over several days this chapter and all the way through Psalm 150. They give tremendous examples. Psalm 145 through Psalm 150 gives tremendous examples of things that you can meditate on while praising and thanking God for those things. Job is another good book to review as God explains some of the creation to Job. Questions like, where were you when I did this? And you're like, oh yeah, there is that, isn't there? Many of the Psalms that David wrote are praises offered to God for not only his physical blessings, but God's mercy and his forgiveness. We take so much for granted that often we don't praise and thank God enough. So please consider praising God and thanking God through your meditation to him. Number three, the third way that we can praise and give thanks to God is through music, through instruments, or through singing. But it can be done through music. We sing hymns each week at church, anywhere from 4 to sometimes 6 hymns at church. How often do you stop and think about the words that you're singing? How often do you stop and think about them? Or do you just kind of, oh yeah, we're singing that hymn, and you kind of halfway don't need the hymn book because, you know, you kind of know all the words. And how often, though, do you actually stop and think about those words as we're singing them? We don't sing hymns at church just to kind of fill the time. It's our way as a congregation that we can be led by the song leader, whoever's up leading songs. It's our way as a congregation that we can actually sing those praises to God and think about those words and be thankful for what God has done for us. If you're interested, you can go out to the members' website. There's a study paper entitled Music in the Bible. Music in the Bible. It's an interesting study paper that was approved by the council a number of years ago. You might go out and read that study paper and read through it and study it. The central purpose of music in our church service is to praise and worship our great God. That's the central purpose of music, whether it's special music or hymn singing or the accompaniments that go on. It's to praise and worship our great God. And that's where our focus should be. We should never be singing and praising and doing whatever we do with instruments or whatever in order to make us look good or, you know, hey, look at me. It should always be done to praise and worship our great God. And I'm thankful for the dedication that all of you have in doing that. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12 actually quotes from Psalm 22. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12 says, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praises to you. It's a beautiful verse. I will declare your name to my brethren, and in the midst of the assembly, I will sing praises to you. David is thanking God for what he has done, for his involvement. And that's a beautiful opportunity that we have each Sabbath to do that too with our singing. Let's go over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Ephesians 5:19, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melodies in your heart, notice, to the Lord. Again, to go back to what we talked about in the beginning of the sermon, this root of ingratitude and pride are intermingled and they're wrapped in together. This verse through Paul writing here, tells us where that focus should be. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to God. Thank Him for what He has done. Thank Him for the many blessings. Psalm chapter 40 and verse 3, I'll just read it, shows that musical expressions of our faith can also inspire others. Psalm 40 and verse 3 says, He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Music can support our faith by helping to comfort and reassure us in times of trials. When Paul and Silas were beaten and imprisoned, they were strengthened by both prayers and singing, right? Acts chapter 16 and verse 25 shows that. It was not only their prayers that helped strengthen them, but it was music. It was their singing. Perhaps their songs and prayers played a part in the beginning of the Philippian jailer to ask in verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Maybe that was part of it. It can be a great comfort to sing praises and express yourself in song to God. Let's make sure that we're thinking along those lines. And again, we don't just kind of get into a habit of, okay, it's time to turn to that hymn. Let's just, you know, run through it on autopilot while I daydream about something else. Singing praises is a great way to be thankful to God. In conclusion, it's easy to stay focused on the self. It's easy to stay focused on ourself. That is not and should not be where we place our efforts and spend our time. God is calling us to something different. He's calling us to be something different. He's calling us and encouraging and commanding us not to be selfish, but rather to be outwardly focused. Let's refocus on proper praise and thanksgiving to God. We know the obvious. That is, without God creating everything we see and things we don't see, we wouldn't be here. That's the obvious. But God has created us, and He has created a beautiful environment for us to live in. Be conscious about giving adequate praise to God. Thank Him in the coming weeks for the wonderful aspects of your life, for the things in creation that you get to enjoy, the things that remind you of Him, of His greatness. Let's conclude over in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, in verse 8. We'll conclude here with this verse. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, and whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things."